Good morning, and thanks for coming to this. Probably some of you, or most of you, have heard me speak about the Farmer to Farmer program, and you're aware that each month I'm able to contribute some to the newsletter and encourage people to follow up with this. So I wanted to give a little bit of an insight into a couple of these experiences, but a little bit different in maybe how they relate to what we do. It's not just a summary of what's happening there. So anyway, most of you know what the Farmer to Farmer program is, but I'm going to take a couple of minutes to be sure we're all on the same page. So it has a rather technical name here, the John Ogunathy and Doug Baruder Farmer to Farmer program, which used to be called FTF, but Feed the Future stole that acronym, so now it's F2F. So if you're looking for acronyms, be sure you're looking for this one or you'll wind up with the wrong program. Anyway, as you can see here, it was designed to provide technical assistance from U.S. volunteers to a whole bunch of people, farmers. The original target maybe was more co-ops, but anyway, quite a group of these things. Just where the names came from, Doug Baruder is the congressman that originally wrote the legislation for this, and John Ogunathy was one of the pilots that was killed in 9/11. So anyway, these have come to be associated with this. The whole idea behind Farmer to Farmer is to request U.S. volunteers, or in this case green card holders, to give advice on a variety of topics in a number of selected countries. So USAID has about 30, 35 countries that they target with this program, and every 5 years it renews. So we're currently in the 14 to 18 cycle. And so if that sort of idea interests you, you'd like to do a couple of opportunities to go overseas and give some volunteer assistance, and there might be a lot of reasons why you would want to do that, but that's a different talk. Anyway, USAID is given money to direct this program, and they do select the countries that are involved, but they don't actually have the manpower to direct all of it. So they then contract with some NGOs who are very important here. In the current cycle, there are six main NGOs, Partners of the Americas, Catholic Relief Services, Windrock International, CNFA, which used to be the Citizens Network for Foreign Affairs, Land O'Lakes International Development, yeah, that's the butter company, but this is their development arm, and ACD Ivoca. And then these are all members of what's called the Vega Alliance, which also has about 15 other members. Which is a volunteer for economic development organization, so it's kind of an umbrella. And there are a few other actually subcontractors, so sometimes the NGOs get assistance from someone else. So anyway, here's one link, and so if you see this talk, this will click you to a link that will send you to the volunteer opportunities page for all these organizations. So anyway, if you decide to pursue this, you want to kind of give it a bit of a thought. So once you contact one of these organizations, usually a recruiter will ask for your resume or your experience because you're obviously contacting them because you've seen something that interests you. And so most of these organizations post opportunities online. And so they'll send you the complete scope of work, which of course is that funny abbreviation. So you keep talking to people about sows and they thought you were a plant scientist. But anyway, so they will send your CV or your resume or even a statement what your expertise is to the host country where they have an office, and they'll talk to the people who requested assistance to see how well it matches and if they'd be if you seem to be the right sort of volunteer for this. And so you now have an opportunity to look at this in depth, because whereas the advertisement might be one paragraph or the title and a little bit about it, the scope of work will often be 5 or 6 pages explaining what expertise they'd like and what exactly they think they want you to do, okay? And so basically what happens here is if the host organization says, yes, you'll do, and you say, well, okay, I can do what you've asked for, I think, then this is often set up, and so that's how this works. And so you're selected to go. You arrange dates with the NGO. They will send you usually your plane ticket. They'll send you money in advance if you're paying for a hotel or per diem or whatever, so you have it. You're not out technically any expenses. You're allowed often to buy books or CDs to bring. Anyway, so what happens? So normally you fly to whichever country it is, and someone from the agency will be there to meet your flight, So you should always look for your name in the appropriate sign. Thereafter, of course, depending on when you arrive, you may go directly to your hotel, hopefully not this one, but you never quite know. They will actually tell you in advance, but sometimes Bob's Hotel doesn't tell you very much. So you may go directly to the office where you'll have a little meeting with the country program. The NGO will have someone there. There generally is not someone directly from USAID. They've contracted for, say, in this case, Partners of the Americas or whoever to conduct this, and they have country staff, usually in your case, maybe with a translator if you don't speak the language, with a field officer to go with you, as well as people in the main office. And so, but as I point out here in red, this is where you discover that all of this preparation for this particular scope of work is kind of mistargeted, because they actually kind of want something else, but it didn't come out that way. So, and those of you who have done this are really aware of what happens here. So you want to be flexible, and so you may have free time to rest, but keep in mind, in many cases, your program will start the next day, so you have to kind of get organized. As you'll see, I have been fairly successful at arriving in places on Saturday, and I would recommend that if you're doing this, because you generally get Sunday off the next day to recover and to see the area and whatever, so it tends to be a lot easier than stepping in at some other point. So anyway, what I wanted to do was show you the two opportunities I've had here rather recently. Both of these are with Partners of the Americas, but I have done others. I just did one with CNFA in Mozambique. So first we're going to look at the Dominican Republic, and then we'll look at Guatemala. The reason is that the projects vary. Now, in the Dominican Republic, this was highly specific. They were looking for someone to come help with pest management and greenhouse vegetables, mostly thrifts who are moving through the screens. They have greenhouses with screen sides for cooling, and spreading tomato spotted wilt virus. Okay, now, when you get a request like that that's pretty specific, you can be guaranteed that there's some rather specific problem, and they really will want you to do that. It turns out I was actually the third or fourth of a string of volunteers who came in and addressed different sides of this program. Okay, so I knew that wasn't going to change much, and it really didn't change at all. Now, the second one was more general in nature, and so when we looked at the one in Guatemala, these were ornamental producers. They're doing cuttings, they're doing pot plants locally, they're doing plugs, they're doing an assortment of things, and they had all kinds of questions. And so I thought, well, this will be generalized, and they asked for an expert who could do everything. So, and you know you can't really do that, so, but you know that there's different places to focus on. So the first one here is the tomato spotted wilt and greenhouse growers in the Dominican Republic. So we can see this. So I assume you all know where the Dominican Republic is, but in case you didn't, it's in the Caribbean, and it's the larger part of Hispaniola. Arrived in Santo Domingo, which is a beautiful colonial city. It's very attractive. Nice walking plazas, quite safe. I arrived uneventfully, which was nice. My luggage arrived. I've had that not happen. The field officer was there to pick me up. I've had that not happen. So it's always nice when they happen like that. And it turned out it was a nice modern hotel, Mercure, in fact, in downtown Santo Domingo. And they dropped me off, and they said, "We'll see you Monday." Okay, this was Saturday. But it turned out there were other volunteers with Partners, and I won't spend a long time explaining Partners to the Americas, but they have a long history without being a farmer-to-farmer NGO. So they have a lot of volunteers and other people there on totally different programs, and that was the case here. So it was nice. People who had been there a week already could say things about the place. So anyway, basically early morning, the field agent picked me up. We went to the local offices. We discussed a little bit about the program, and they gave me the current schedule, which was fairly similar to what I was expecting. But anyway, we tend to get a very specific schedule when you arrive, because now they've got times and things set up with growers and cooperatives to meet, and those things are kind of more fixed. It's kind of all kind of nebulous before that happens. So we were leaving town. We picked up equipment. We got into, of course, a driving rainstorm. The roads in the Dominican Republic are actually in pretty good condition, so that was good. And so we went to a little town called Constanza. And so our plan here was basically to visit greenhouse facilities and talk to some of the grower group, the head of the grower group, and then after a day or so of this, to make a presentation to them as an association, okay? So that was pretty straightforward. And we're going to repeat this in several areas. And this is kind of useful, because it allows you to tweak that program once you see things and you can kind of change your presentation. It works out pretty well. And unfortunately, I had provided an IPM program in Nicaragua the previous year, so that was a good place to start. I didn't have to start from scratch. So anyway, in Constanza, we'll just look at it. Here's the greenhouses. So we can see what it looks like. There's a problem with the thrips coming in from the field, and the screens have holes in them that are too big. And so basically, the second day we had a farmers meeting, and we get to make a presentation here, and they were nice. They presented something, and you can see here I have the translator with me. So the field operative, who's currently now a PhD student, by the way, at LSU in agriculture economics. But anyway, so we gave this presentation, and then we went on. We went to Jarabacoa, so again, more greenhouses. And the nice part here is we can see what technology they already have, so the blue sticky pads for thrips and various things. And again, I gave a presentation. It was quite nice, and they gave me a nice award and so forth. So then it turned out that the field agent who was working with me's father became quite ill, and he had to actually leave me somewhere. And so this is a really lovely resort. If you go to the Dominican Republic, it's called Gran Jimenoa. It's in the middle. And so I got left here for 3 days and nights, which was nice. Air conditioning, refrigerator in your room, beautiful sort of resort. So sometimes you get lucky. This is Ocoa, so this is the next one. The Dominican Republic has far more greenhouses than the USA, but most of them are the same type with net walls, and it does have some problems. And so again, we looked at a lot of these and then gave a presentation. Back to Santo Domingo, it was decided actually nicely that the presentation had worked out so well that they were going to invite a bunch of experts, that's scary, so government people, Secretary of Agriculture sort of thing, to come see the presentation, which was quite flattering. I'm glad it was that well received. And so invitations went out. So here's some of the people who came. So we had people from the university and PhDs in entomology and sort of things. And it can be a little overwhelming. But anyway, we had this program. And I think it worked out quite well. And in fact, I was asked to then actually shepherd a grant through the proposal there in the Dominican Republic. But again, this fellow who was the leader that was doing it left for the PhD program. So if we look at Guatemala, and I have to do this quickly, but you know where Guatemala is, I think. Here, okay, it's a fairly large Central American country. Has a lot of volcanoes, so be ready for that. Quite a number of active ones. And the city itself is quite modern. Guatemala City is large. Same thing happened. Everything arrived. And again, I arrived on Saturday, so we'll see you on Monday. And it turned out this time that the program was entirely different, and that was kind of important. When they gave me the first schedule, they had scheduled me to make workshops day after day to the Export Growers Association on various topics, and I suggested that wasn't perhaps a good idea, that instead maybe we should go see a few growers and look at their problems specifically so that I'm not just giving out generalized horticulture information to people who are already in business. That's kind of a waste of time. So it turned out that they had replaced this workshop with every day with the concept that we'd go out. Now, Guatemala was a replacement country for farmer to farmer. It replaced Honduras, where the perception was that the way the program works wasn't very safe. Maybe it is or not. And there was also some other things going on in Honduras that were a bit of a replacement. So Guatemala wasn't entirely organized at that point to do it. But anyway, so the idea was to see these. I'll just go through the words. We can look at the pictures. A lot of crops, a lot of opportunities, different very specific things. So we looked at ornamentals of various sorts, as you can see, all kinds of things. And we discovered there were lots of different problems, and so some growers were well-developed, some not so much. Some were rural, some had much more modern greenhouses. The upper left there actually is owned by a U.S. company that works there. I mentioned that we went through Antigua, which is known with cobblestone, so here's the cobblestone path. A particular delight, we ate at this restaurant, you can't see it quite here, but this chair was set in by Bill Clinton in 1999, so they put a plaque on it, and if you're lucky, you can sit there too. So anyway, we saw a lot of these things, all sorts of projects, talked to all sorts of groups, and then of course, even outdoor aloe vera for off, you know, transplants. So anyway, we gave two presentations in town, the workshops. They were well attended, I think, and we were able to answer a lot of grower questions. So anyway, because I've probably run out of time, yes? Yep. Okay. So I have a lot of opportunities, and I was going to talk about how to read these, but I figured I wouldn't have time to do it. But I want to pick just the last one. If I have one here. Catholic Relief Service is particularly looking for someone who can be an instructor. So this is a university instructor volunteer who's going to help set up some tropical fruit production class at the university in Ethiopia to train their extension agents and also students. So this is a particularly important one. It's 1 month, and it's flexible anytime this fall or into the spring. So there's lots of them online. There's lots of them on our column. Please watch for them. But if anyone here is interested in being a professor for a month, you don't do that, I realize, then. Okay, so all I can say is I hope you're interested in volunteering today, and if not, maybe I can force you into it, okay? So, thanks.